as we left off yesterday, we were talking about the question of being tzad, of trapping different kinds of insects, which are not really considered to be minonitzah, things that people don't generally trap. So we had machlekes at the noyim, and we passed in halach that one is potter. The question is, why is one potter? So we pointed out in machlekes in Rashi and Tosfos that according to Rashi, it's basically part of the general halacha of malacha shentzvicha legufa, and therefore will be subject to the machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon, and that's exactly why there's a machlekes at the noyim in the Mishnah. And according to Tosfos, that's not true. According to Tosfos, Davar she'ein minonitzah, this potter as an independent p'tur, and most probably the reason being because it's considered to be shelo kederach. So that got us thinking a little bit about shelo kederach. Is that really a correct application of shelo kederach? So we pointed out at the end of the show yesterday that shelo kederach is usually associated with doing the action in an abnormal fashion, such as the person writing with the left hand rather than the right hand, the person carrying something under his hat rather than in his pocket. Here, I'm doing the same action. I'm closing a door, I'm closing the box, I'm trapping the fly. The only thing is that the chev to the object that I'm doing the tzeda to is a different object. So that's already a chiddush. We tried to give a moshel yesterday. The person who squeezes the prune juice, I'm doing the same action of squeezing, but I'm doing it to a different chevtza. So maybe that's also considered to be shelo kederach. It just got us thinking a little bit at the very end of the show yesterday about the whole principle of shelo kederach as it relates to the Shabbos. We've already seen this idea before, that shelo kederach is really multifaceted, that there are different levels, different types of shelo kederach. We pointed out in the past the famous Yisof of the Egle Tal. Egle Tal is a classic Sefer Nochah Shabbos, where the Egle Tal points out that there are really two different types of shelo kederach. Of course, we're saying maybe even three types. The shelo kederach, which touches on the very essence of the malacha. That means if you take a look at what's in front of you, you've accomplished something very, very different looking than the normal way of doing the malacha. That's one type of shelo kederach. Then you have another kind of shelo kederach where, at the end of the day, the etzem malacha isn't all that different. It's just that you as a person did it in a strange way. So we've given the marshal, the person stands on his head. He stands on his head and he does malacha in some very, very strange way. If you're just focusing on the malacha proper, nothing strange has happened. So the person turns on the light with his elbow. At the end of the day, the light's on. At the end of the day, the etzem malacha is done in the same fashion. It's just that you as a person have done it in an abnormal way. So we've gone along throughout the years of Shabbos, every once in a while we try to point out the Egle Tal. So even within the principle of Kliach Yad that everybody accepts, there are different types of Kliach Yad. There's Kliach Yad where there's a change in the Etzem HaMalacha. There's Kliach Yad when there's merely a tangential change, external change in the Gavra HaOsis HaMalacha. And here you have a third kind of Kliach Yad where the malach itself is really done the same. The kaf is not doing anything all that different, but the cheft that he chose to do the malacha to is a different type of a cheft that's generally not associated with this malacha. So these are all different types of kliach yad. Not everybody buys into all of them, but again, these are just an expression of the different types of kliach yad. But now we get back to tzeda proper. So we began the shir yesterday by introducing the fact that there are different members of the animal kingdom, and the halakhas of tzad may be different depending on what type of an item we're going to be tzad. So now we go down to the fifth of the Maamar Kavos. The Mishnah and the Gemara starts to get into the nitty-gritty as to what's considered to be an act of tzeda vis-a-vis different types of members of this animal kingdom. What's tzeda for birds, and what's tzeda for wild animals, and we'll talk as we go on, what's tzeda perhaps for domesticated animals, if there even is tzeda on that. And then eventually we'll get to, is there even tzeda on the highest of the animal kingdom? And we hope the highest of the animal kingdom, a person. Does the malach of tzeda even make sense in the context of a human being? But at least when it comes to animals and birds, wild animals and birds, so the Mishnais and the Gemaras do discuss the issue of tzeda. But now the Gemara starts to get into some details as to what's considered to be tzeda or not. So if you take a look at the fifth of the Maamar Kavos, so the Gemara actually introduces to us the sugya of tzeda, not even from the vantage point of Shabbos, but rather from the vantage point of Yom Tov. Now, Yom Tov is very tricky. Is it supposed to stop or? So the Gemara introduces the tzeda from the vantage point of Yom Tov. Even the application of tzeda and Yom Tov itself is highly questionable. It's not questionable that it's also to be tzad on Yom Tov. The question is, why exactly is it also? So the first Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Beitza tells us that Ein Tzad, it's not yet on the, we're going to see it in the Gemara in a minute, but the first Mishnah, the third parak of Beitza, speaks about an Isuf Tzeda on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to trap on Yom Tov, which of course is a, there's a red flag down on that Mishnah. Why is it also in the first place? If my goal is to eat the animals, if my goal is, I want to go fishing. I want to make, I have some salmon for my Yom Tov meal. So why can't I go fishing on Yom Tov? If I want to have deer's meat for my Yom Tov meal, why can't I go trapping, go hunting on the Yom Tov? What's the problem? If I'm allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, why can't I be tzad on Yom Tov? So the, everything we're going to talk about for the rest of the shiur is assuming that you're not allowed to be tzad on Yom Tov. That's a given, that's a Mishnah. But it's unclear why that should be so. So the Rishonim have different approaches to tzad on Yom Tov. Not all that different to some of the different approaches we've seen about certain other malachas on Yom Tov. Even though our starting point of Yom Tov is Ochel Nefesh. Pasuk says, Ach asher ochel ochel nefesh. Whatever is necessary for food is mutar. Well, that statement, whatever is necessary for food is mutar, is not an all-inclusive statement. Because the Gemara does say, Maseches Beitza, you're not allowed to pluck an apple off your tree on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to harvest your grain on Yom Tov, even though I want to eventually eat it. So when do we say that ochel nefesh is mutar, and when do we say that ochel nefesh is osur? There's a big, big machlokes Rishonim about this. So there was some Rishonim of the opinion that the differences between which malachas are osur and which malachas are mutar are actually differences midaraisa. There's a real Torah distinction between certain malachas which are permissible in Yom Tov and certain malachas that are prohibited in Yom Tov. What's the Torah distinction? So there's a Rishalmi that says that milisha ve'elach malachas are mutar. Anything before lisha is also, lisha being kneading. So anything in the process of making bread, when I have to do a lot of things before I can make the bread. I have to plant the grain, and I have to harvest the grain, I have to thresh the grain, and a lot of things. And then I knead the dough, and then I bake it into the oven. So the Rishami says, may lisha ve'elach, namely kneading and baking, those belachas are permissible on Yom Tov. Anything before the kneading process is prohibited on Yom Tov. What's the source for that? So the Rishami dashens a pasuk. Because it says, "Achashe ochel lechol nefesh," you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Ushmartem es matzos, and immediately on the heels of that pasuk, so the pasuk speaks about guarding the matzah. So the Rishalmi's opinion is that shmur matzah is only at the stage of kneading. There is no need, no pun intended. There's no need to watch the grain from before kneading for a very simple reason. The Rishalmi says there's no water there anyway. It only makes sense to require shmur matzah when the water is introduced. The water is introduced at the time of Elisha. That's when the mitzvah of Shmura begins. And anything before is not necessary to watch. So the Rishami has the drasha, just as Shmura Matzah begins at kneading, so too the Het of Ochel Nefesh begins at kneading also, because the two psukim are compared to one another. That's a famous drasha of the Rishami that Taisi in Maseches Beitza quotes. So many, many Rishonim disagree with that drasha. Many Rishonim say there is no source for that drasha in the Talmud Bavli. Forget, many Rishonim say we paskin that Shmur Matzah has to be Mishas Ktzira from the time of harvesting. There's no water. That's exactly why you're watching it. You're watching it to make sure that nobody messes up and puts water there. So that's how we paskin in our boxes of matzah. It says in our box of matzah, Shmur Mishas Ktzira, because we follow those views that at least the Chachila, that the matzah should be Shmur from the much, much earlier point. Of course, that hikes up the price a little bit on the Shmur Matzah. Generally speaking, there's a rule of life. You pay per hider, you pay per chumrah. So if you would have held that Shmur would have met Mishas Lisha, then you don't have to pay Mashgichim to go to Kansas and harvest the grain. But since we're Machmir, like those Rishonim, you have to, you need Mishas Ktzira, so of course, more Mashgichim, more money. Anyway, getting back to the story. It was just the side point about the Pesach. So getting back to the story. So those Rishonim who disagree with the Rishonim, who say that the Bavli disagrees with the Rishonim, why is it that certain malachas are off limits? Why is Ktsira Asar on Yom Tov? So many Rishonim, the Ram and the Ravid say those are all Chumras Midrabanan. That the Chumrim didn't want you to do these kinds of activities on Yom Tov, because it's so easy to do it before Yom Tov. Well, you have to harvest your grain on Yom Tov. Harvest your grain before Yom Tov. You can't tell a guy not to cook on Yom Tov, because then his food's going to get spoiled, if it's not going to taste as good if he cooks it before Yom Tov. But anything that could have been done from beforehand should be done. Why should you waste the whole day doing malach on Yom Tov? So for whatever the reason is, it's clear that kotzer is asur on Yom Tov. So now the Rishonim have a mashal. They say, just as kotzer, so harvesting is asur on Yom Tov, either derais or derabonin, so to tzeda is asur on Yom Tov as well. Because tzeda is to shchita, like kotzer is to afiyah. Tzeda is an early stage. Tzeda is a pre-shchita stage. So what's the din? Are you permitted to be tzad on Yom Tov? So the answer is absolutely not. The Mishnah says Beferish Tzad is outright asur on Yom Tov. Is it asur midaraisa? So according to the Rishalmi and Tosfos who say that there's certain deraisa distinctions, those malachim which are early on in the process are asur midat Torah. So Tzad would probably asur midat Torah as well. According to the Rambam and the Ravid, who say that kotz is mutar min haTorah. If you harvest you go out in your field and harvest your grain on Yom Tov, so to min haTorah it would be permissible to trap animals as long as you're planning on eating them on Yom Tov. But the Rabban Nikya, Lamai said, Mishnah says you're not allowed to, but at least deraisa would be permissible. So we're not quite sure whether we're dealing with a din deraisa or a din derabanan, but we are dealing with an innocent seder. There's nobody who holds that seder is permissible on Yom Tov. It's just a question, is it a deraisa or is it a derabanan? So comes the fifth of the Ramakomos with that little bit of a background when the Gemara starts. So four lines in on the fifth of the Ramakomos and Shabbos Kufav. Tanan Hossa, we learned in the Mishnah, and here the Gemara is referring back to the Mishnah, the third Rebbe Beitza. Ein sudden dagam in a bibrin de yomtiv. One is not permitted to go fishing. One is not permitted to trap fish from bibrin. Bibrin, a little, when they refer to fish, they refer to like little ponds. So what, the word bibur really means an area where animals or fish are being housed. So when it's talking about fish, obviously it's talking about water, it's talking about other animals, it's talking about like a small area.
But it's a man-made thing to hold that fish?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's just an area, it's usually just a term that's used to an area that's enclosing, that's keeping stuff there. So, Ein Sadeh Nagam B'Bibur Yantiv, one is not permitted to trap the fish on Yantiv. The reason presumably being, because there's an Isser of Tzeda, as we just said, either I said the Rabbanah, there's a problem of Tzeda. And then, the Mishnah just says, as an aside, the Ein Nosuf Lehem Mizonos. Not only is one not allowed to trap on Yantiv, one is not allowed to feed the fish on Yantiv either. Why can't you feed the fish on Yantiv? So according to many Rishonim, it's a gezeira atutzad. That anytime you're not allowed to trap something, so we're always afraid that if I start to feed and I get too close to the fish, so that, ooh, that looks like a pretty good fish over there. Let me get that fish for my Yantiv meal. So I'll be in violation of the Isra of Tzad. So that's what some Rishonim say, that the Isra of Nesidus Mizonos is a gezeira atutzad, which would probably relate back to what we spoke about before, is saying the real Nisa deraisa or not. If Tzeda on Yom Tov is only an Issa de Rabbanan, it sounds a little bit difficult. There should be a Gezerah to that. It's almost like a Gezerah le Gezerah. Whereas if you hold that the Issa of Tzeda is a Deraisa, then it makes a lot of sense why you're not allowed to feed them Gezerah up the trapping. That equation between don't feed because you may trap is not explicit in the Gemara. Many Rishonim make that jump, and other Rishonim learn maybe the Issa of Nesidus Mizonos is for another reason. But whatever it is, you're not allowed to feed the animals. You're not allowed to feed the fish on Yom Tov. That everybody agrees to. That's the reason why the Post can point out that the custom, I don't want to call it a minhag would elevate it to some degree of significance, but that custom, that practice, I guess we should use, that some people have on Tashlich of taking bread and throwing it to the fish, is really Shalai Kedin, because it's a violation of this Mishnah of Ein Osel for Emizonis, that whenever you're not allowed to trap a fish, you're not allowed to feed a fish either. There are other reasons why that custom should not be practiced, should not be followed. In our community, it's not so terrible because we have an Erev anyway. But very often people go to Tashlich, and going to Tashlich is outside of the Erev. In Europe, it was always like that. That's why the meaning became not to go to Tashlich on Shabbos, because they didn't want to carry the Mavzorim. So they would dafka go on Sunday when Rosh Hashanah, the first day was on Shabbos. So you see clearly that the meaning was they would go out to the rivers, which are usually outside of the Erev. So if a person is going outside the Erev and they're going to be carrying bread to throw to the fish, so that's a real serious problem, because that's called carrying Shalom Letzorach and Yantif. The din is, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Kulav Ado Ye'asel Lachem, you're only permitted to carry on Yantif for your Tzorachim, but Lachem means to exclude behemoths. You're not allowed to carry for animals or for birds or for fish. You're not allowed to feed the animals. You can feed the animals on Yom Tov if certain animals, if they're your own personal animals, then you're allowed to feed them on Yom Tov. But you're not allowed to do malachas for them. You're not allowed to carry for them for that tzorech. That's considered to be an issur deraisa of carrying on Yom Tov shelo l'tzorech. That's another good reason why that minhag really shouldn't be followed of bringing the bread for tashlich. Whatever the reason is that one is not supposed to be doing it. That's part of the reason why many poskim have an issue with the minhag of putting out bread for the birds on Shabbos Shira. So the Magen Avraham quotes such a minhag of putting out bread for the birds. So many poskim say that you're not supposed to do it on Shabbos, you should really do it on Erev Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, that would be the same problem of Nesinas Mizonos. Some want to defend that practice based on the fact that The halacha is, if you have your own private birds, then you're permitted to feed them on Shabbos and Yontif. That's what's called mezonoson alecha. If they mamash belong to you, it's your responsibility, the birds have to eat. So some wanted to say, that on Shabbos Shira, all the birds in the world are our responsibility. We have to be makir tov to those wonderful birds who saved us in the days of Dost and Vavira. There are different reasons given why we feed the birds. Some say, because Shabbos Shira is always Pashas B'Shalach. So Pashas B'Shalach is the story about the man. So to thank the birds for eating up the man in the days of the Midbar, the man that was put out on Shabbos to try to trick up Moshe Rabbeinu, so the birds ate it Friday night. So some say we're giving Hakaras HaTov to the birds for that. And others say we want to encourage the birds to sing Shira also, because since birds are usually good at singing, so Shabbos Shira, we want them to sing as well. So there are two different reasons in the Poskim for where in the world this minute came from. But wherever the minute came from, so many Poskim say you should do a Dafka on Friday, and some wanted to defend the practice of doing it on Shabbos as well. But putting aside all these strange cases, normally the din is that you're not allowed to feed the fish on Yontif, and you're not allowed to you're not allowed to trap the fish on Yontif, and you're not allowed to feed the fish on Yontif as well. But then the Gemara continues that even though you're not allowed to trap the fish from these ponds on Yontif, about sudden chayiv of v'nosuf v'nemezonus, but you are permitted to trap the wild animals, and you're permitted to trap the birds on Yom Tov, and since you're permitted to trap them, so then you're permitted to feed them as well. So we just got finished saying that there is an Isur of Tzeda on Yom Tov. So what in the world is the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah just said you're not allowed to trap the fish, but then you are allowed to trap the wild animals. So the Gemara is going to explain that the Mishnah doesn't mean to say you can violate the Malach of Tzah. That's for sure also, either Deraisa or Derabbanan. What the Mishnah means to say is that these wild animals and these birds are already trapped. The Isur of Tzeda is only when you take something that's mamish running around wild, and you go ahead and you trap it, you enclose it, that's the Malach of Tzah. If something's already in a cage, and it's already closed, it's not going anywhere, and you just make it a little bit more trapped, I guess we could use the phrase "ein tzeda chatzeda." That's that we just made up that phrase. It's what's called the number, which is nitzal bi'aymed. It's already halachically considered to be trapped. Then there's no problem. So what the Mishnah seems to be drawing a distinction is not so much halachically between fish versus birds and wild animals. It's purely a physical question, namely when you have fish swimming around in these small areas, we assume that they're not yet trapped. We'll have to see why that's so. Whereas the wild animals and the wild birds in the same type of an area, the same small enclosed area, are already halachically considered to be trapped. So it's not so much that there's some major halachic difference between the fish and the birds. It's just that the metzias advarim is that if you ask the hunters, when you see fish swimming around in these bibrim, so the fishermen say, oh my goodness, these fish are still wild, running around wild. We got to trap them. Whereas when it comes to the chayas and the ofas, if you see them in a similar sized bibur, you would say, oh great, Baruch Hashem, the job's done already. So whatever is already trapped is not a problem of trapping. Whatever is still not yet trapped would be a problem.
Isn't an animal that's untrapped when Yantif starts mitzvah before Yantif to begin with?
That's a whole different book. We're going to get to the mukta part. But the mukta part you could probably get around if one had in mind to... Possibly one had in mind to ready trap it, that may be avoid the mukta issues. But it's not going to help because you have a more serious problem. Let's say there's a potential malacha problem. So comes the Gemara and gets into a little bit of a nitty-gritty detail as to is this distinction, this practical metzias, based on what the hunters and the fishermen are telling us, is are the facts really true? Or many, the Gemara says in the second line, we have a contradiction. Bibrin shall chayas v'shal ofas v'shal dagim. There's a braisa that says explicitly that just as one is not allowed to go fishing on Yom Tov in these small bibrim, one is not permitted to trap the wild animals or the wild birds. And again, whenever you're not allowed to trap, you're not allowed to feed as well. So this is a contradiction just in terms of the metzias. So half the fishermen and half the hunters are telling us that the birds and the deer are already trapped, so therefore it's mutter to trap them. And the other ones are saying it's not true. So what's going on? If a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, what's the difference? How come in one place we permit the bibrim and in one place we prohibit the bibrim? So finally the Gemara says, the Gemara tries a few answers, and finally the Gemara answers, if you go down to the, from the first line is the line of the Gemara, so it's the sixth line. The first word line is She'ena, She'ena Mekabelos Marus. So the Gemara says at the end of that line, Hashidas Lahochi, now that we just try to resolve the contradiction, it's not really a contradiction. The Gemara says, Chaya Chaya Nami Lokasha, Habibi Begodl, Habibi Bekotan. No great Lomdusha Teretz. It's a purely Matthias answer, namely, how big is the Bieber? if this bibor of this area is tremendous, it may be enclosed, but it's 5 miles wide, and you have a deer running around, so then that's not called nitzod yet. Whereas if it's a small two by nothing, so then it's considered to already be enclosed, and it's not considered to be a subsequent problem of tzedah. So the Gemara basically says there is no great lumdish answer to this kasha. You got to ask the hunters. So when the hunter comes and says this is already trapped, so that's it's already considered to be trapped, and it's not a problem. So now the Gemara just wants to get into a little bit more of the nitty gritty. Heichi dami bibagol, heichi dami bibakotan. How do you know whether you have a big biber? How do you know whether you have a little biber? So I'm Rav Ashi, kolhecha deroit basurei umatla b'chad shichya biber katan. If you have a small room and there's a deer running around, if you would take just one shot, one lunge at the deer, and you would trap it, you would be able to grab it, because there's nowhere for it to go, that's called a biber katan. If you'd have to start running around in circles to try to get this deer, take it 20 minutes to lasso the deer, so that's considered to be already a biber gadol, that would be a violation of tzedah. So that was Rav Ashi's description of what the hunters are telling him. At what point do you say that something is considered to be a biber gadol or biber katan? Then the Gemara gives other shiurim how to try to figure this out, depending on other areas in the biber for the deer to run to, small areas, big areas. At the end of the day, the Rishon point out, it all means the same thing. At the end of the day, it's all the same story. Bottom line is it a biber gadol or is it a biber katan? Then the Gemara, if you go down to the sixth of the Mar Mekamos, the Gemara gives us what seems to be another way of just assessing the same thing. So the Gemara says, Zat klal kol mechusat tzedah. The Gemara says that anytime something is mechusat tzedah, means it still requires to be trapped, there's an issue of trapping, which anytime something doesn't need to be trapped anymore, then it's okay. Hechidah mechusat tzedah, Rav Yosef, Rav Mishmol, kol she'oma have mitzudu unutzudenu. If the hunters say, bring a trap, let's go, bring some stuff, because we still have to trap this deer, that shows that it's not yet trapped. If the hunters say, we don't have to trap it anymore, it's already trapped. So that should, hunters are hunt kapaskin, that's already considered to be trapped. So many of the Rishonim point out that it's all the same thing. It means first the Gemara was talking about measuring the size of the biber, then the Gemara was talking about asking the hunters. The bottom line is there's no great lumdish difference here. It all depends on the pure metzias. Is it considered to be trapped or is it not considered to be trapped? However, if we go back to the beginning of the sugya, back to the fifth of the Mar Kamas, let's start reading that line of the Gemara again. We just read a few minutes ago, the Tanan Hasam, where the Gemara is referencing the Mishnah Maseches Beitza. Ain sudden dagam in a biber miyamtiv, the ain nosim flamizonos. About sudden chayv ofenosim flamizonos. The first Mishnah that was differentiating between fish and other animals, where the Mishnah said that you're allowed to trap the chayz and the ofos. So based on the Gemara's conclusion, the Mishnah that says you're allowed to trap the chayes and ofos is obviously talking about a small biber, because we just got finished saying a minute ago, if it's a big biber, if it's a 4 mile big biber, then you're not allowed to trap anything. So the opening Mishnah from Beitza that permits the trapping of the chayes and ofos and yontif is obviously talking about a small biber. Now we have a little bit of a problem. If that's true, that we're talking about a small biber, so then why does the Mishnah contrast and say fish is also the marashach? If it's a big biber, so then everything is usur. If it's a small biber, everything should be mutter. Why does the Mishnah say that even though it's a small biber, say there's dagim is a problem? So that's the question that the Rishonim have to deal with. Manishtana, why is that say there's dagim all of a sudden becomes usur? So that's the issue that the Rishonim have to deal with. So if you take a look, if we take a look at the Rambam, on the 8th of the Marmakamos, so the Rambam, Menuchas Yantav, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, Dagim Shem Bibrim Gedolim, so the Rambam starts up by saying, if it's a big biber, Zechen Chai V'ov Shem Bibrim Gedolim, or we have wild animals and birds in a biber gadol, Kol Shem Mechusat Seda, anytime it has to be trapped, Ad She'omim Havei Metzudin Tzudenu, Harei Zem Mukta, V'ein Tzadus Habi Yantav, there's a multiple problem, the Mukta maybe in trapping, V'im Tzad Lo Yochlu, and if you went ahead and you trapped it, you're not even allowed to eat it on Yantav. Anytime you don't need to go grab traps, so the Rambam quotes verbatim the distinction between a biber gadol and a biber katan. Everything's great, except for the fact that the Rambam kind of glossed over the distinction between fish and everything else. The Rambam introduced by saying, Dagim shebibrim gedolim v'cher chayev yolv shebibrim gedolim. The Rambam said they're the same. So that's a big problem. The Gemara said that fish are always asur. There's never hetter to go fishing on yontif ever, no matter what the size of the beaver is. And the Rambam ignored it. Now, we can appreciate why the Rambam ignored it. We understand why the Rambam ignored it, because it doesn't seem to make any sense. Because as we pointed out before, why should there be a difference in standards between the fish and everything else? But Lamaisa, the Gemara said it. So what gave the Rambam the right to ignore it? That's a big problem. So we are not the first ones to be bothered with this problem. The Ravid is bothered with this problem as well. So if we take a look at the end of the 8th in the Rambam Kamos, it's two lines from the bottom. Hasagas HaRavid, Dagam Shabim Gadol V'chein Chai, Om Avram. The Ravid's always start with Om Avram because it's the Talmidim we're writing. The Ravid, when he said Shir, he was reading the Rambam. So the Ravid would read the Rambam and he'd say, I don't think this is right. I disagree with this. So his Talmidim were writing Om Avram. The Rebbe said, his name was Rebbe Avram Ben David. Om Avram, the Rebbe said the following. So Om Avram, Ze Eino Nochon. Very simple way of disagreeing. He said, it's not right. Sharei Chayev Ov Sheitiru Eino Ela Bebirim Ketanim. Because the only case where we permit Chayev and Ofus is if it's a small. If it's a small bibur, the Mishnah said explicitly that fish are always asur. So the Ravid says, I appreciate why you wanted the fish to be the same as the chayes, the ofus, but it's not true. The Mishnah says explicitly that fish are worse. So the Ravid says, I don't know what to do with this Rambam, but I'm telling you that fish are worse. So comes the Ravid and says, now if I'm already trying to sell you this idea that fish are worse, let me explain to you why fish are worse. Says the Ravid, because you can't see them, and therefore they're worse. So the Ravid just threw a curveball at us. The Ravid said that we know for a fact that fish are worse than chayes and ofos. That's a very shigemar. You can't just gloss over that difference like the Rambam and just forget about it. There are cases where if you have the same exact size contained area, to trap a wild animal, to trap a bird will be mutter, and yet to go fishing in that area is going to be a problem. Why is that, says the Ravid? Because you can't see the fish. So what's the Ravid saying? So the Pashtus HaDvarim is, the Ravid is saying, since you can't see the fish, so you can never consider fish to really be trapped. If I have a chai, I have a deer that's sitting in a small closet, trapped already, done. I have a bird that's flying around in a little cage. It's done, it's finished, it's history, man. It's already trapped. A fish, even in the smallest pond, can't see it, it's swimming all over the place. So that's, by definition, never considered to be trapped. And if I go ahead and I go fishing, according to some, that'll be a deraisa and yontif. On Shabbos, for sure, it'll be a deraisa. And then you have to baby the rice and baby the rabbanim, it's going to be usher anyway. That's the simple pshat in the rai. Meshe b'chusim in ayin. So we'll have to see, hopefully on Friday, whether just because something is the simple pshat doesn't necessarily mean it's the correct pshat.
Why is there a distinction in feeding them, though?
The chayin, the fish? No, that goes hand in hand with trapping. Whenever you have something that's mutter to trap, then it's mutter to feed, because according to many Rishonim, the whole list of feeding is a gzeira to trapping. Whereas fish, when you're not allowed, since lamaisa mechusim na'ayin, so you're not allowed to trap it, since you're not allowed to trap it, the corollary is you're not allowed to feed it as well. So hopefully we have to see on Friday whether we explain the shittas arriving correctly, and we're going to come back to what was mentioned before, that even the Rambam made mention of the fact of another issa floating around there called the issa of mukta, that kind of got snuck in between the cracks. Hopefully mentioned on Friday, try to put together some of these factors about the issue of trapping.
So the